Something on Ayin Tes Amud Aleph, 8 lines from the top. We said in the Mishnah, B'mukdoshin Eine Kein Chola, good morning, Ellie. We said in the Mishnah, B'mukdoshin Eine Kein Chola, that unlike with the Korban Pesach, where we said that the Dafka has to be meat of it available in order to sprinkle the blood of the Korban and be Yotze with it, because after all, the Korban Pesach is there mainly in order to be eaten. With other Kodshim, we said it's not like that. Even if you have only the Chalev left, you're still able to sprinkle the blood because the blood accomplishes that now you're able to offer the Chalev on the Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, Masnissin Mani, who is our Mishnah like? Rabbi Yeshua. It would be specifically according to Rabbi Yeshua. Because as we learned before that according to Rabbi Eliezer, you can sprinkle the blood of a korban even if there's no chaylev and no basso left at all. But D'tanya, we learned in a brayse, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, kol hazvachim shebatorah, all korbanos in the Torah, shenishtayim and kezayis basser, oy kezayis chaylev, where you have left of the korban a kezayis of meat or a kezayis of chaylev, Zodikas Adam, then that's good enough to sprinkle the blood, because now you have either you have a kazayis of meat, so therefore now the sprinkling of the blood accomplishes that now you can eat that meat, or you have a kazayis of chaylev, and now that accomplishes that you can burn that on the mizbeach. Less than a kazayis is not significant, so that doesn't work. On the other hand, kachatzizayis basav, a kachatzizayis chaylev, but if you have left half kazayis of meat and half kazayis of chaylev, ein zorikas adam, then you wouldn't be able to sprinkle the blood, because then those two don't combine together. This, that the Mizbeach is going to eat half of it and that the person is going to eat half of it, that doesn't combine. Over Oila, on the other hand, he continues with a korban Oila, since the whole thing is burnt on the Mizbeach anyway, then afilu kachatziz ayis basav, a kachatziz ayis chaylev, then even if you have a half kazayis of meat and a half kazayis of chaylev left, and the rest of it all became tomei or was burnt or what have you, zordekas adam, you can still sprinkle the blood, because as it is, the whole korban is being burnt on the Mizbeach anyway, so therefore, yeah, the meat and the chaylev can combine together. And the Braisa continues, Rabbi Yeshua continues, over mincha, when it comes to a korban mincha, afal pisha kola kayemis, even if the whole thing is intact, lo yizrek, you shouldn't sprinkle the blood. What says mincha mayavita? What do you mean? Where does a mincha come in over here? With a mincha, there's no blood to be sprinkled on the mizbeach. Amar Papa, minchas nisachim. So the Papa says, right, the mincha that we're talking about over here, it's not a regular mincha where you take a koimetz of it and burn it on the Zbeach and the rest of it is eaten by the Kohen. And we're talking about minchas nesachim, the kind that accompanies a korban. So what the point that Rabbi Yeshua is saying is, you would have thought, without him saying that, you would have thought to say, kiven to ka'asya mikoyach zebach, since that mincha is coming together with the korban, you're only bringing the minchas nesachim because you're bringing the korban. Maybe it should be considered like the actual korban itself, and therefore we should say, so if you bring, let's say, an oilo or a shlomim, where those are accompanied by minchas nesachim. So now let's say all of the meat, all of the chaylev of the korban, or both actually, all the meat and all the chaylev, you have less than a kazayis left of meat or of chaylev of the korban, but you have the entire minchas nesachim. So you would think, well, so good. We still have the minchas nesachim. That goes along with the korban. So shouldn't we be allowed to sprinkle the blood of the korban on the basis of that? Kamash Malon. Therefore, Rabbi Yeshua wants us to know that it's not like that. You have to have part of the actual korban left, the meat or the chaylev, as the case may be, but not the minchas nesachim is not good enough for that purpose. Okay, so the question is chaylev menolon. So where do we know? So before we learned, when we discussed the machlokas of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, we brought how Rabbi Yeshua knows that there has to be basar in order to be able to do the zrikas adam, because the pasuk says v'asisa elasecha habasar v'adam, and the pasuk finishes off v'dam zvachecha yishafech v'habasar toichel. So Rabbi Yeshua said that teaches us that both by an oila and a shlomim, the meat and the blood are interdependent. You can only sprinkle the blood only if there's meat left, and you can only eat the meat if the blood was sprinkled. Fine. But where do we know then that the same thing would apply to chaylev? We're saying here in the Braisa that Rabbi Yeshua is, and we said in the Mishnah actually, that Rabbi Yeshua would say that even if there's only chaylev left, that you can also sprinkle the blood of the korban. Where do we know that from? So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Yochanan says, in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, Umatu Ba Mishum Rabbi Shmuel ben Chananya, or others say that Rabbi Yochanan is saying it in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, which is the same Rabbi Yeshua as we have in the sugya over here. By the way, when we say that somebody says Mishum, it means that it's not a direct thing. Rabbi Yochanan was born long after Rabbi Shmuel passed away. And then long after Rabbi Yeshua passed away, what it means is he's saying it over something that he had heard from his Rebbeim, which ultimately goes back to Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. Anyway, what it is the Omakra, the Pasuk says, V'hikter ha-chelev l'reyach nechoyach la'ashem. The Pasuk says that you should burn the chelev as a reyach nechoyach, as a sweet smell, as nachas ruach lefonai, a nachas ruach to the Eibishter, that shamarti v'nasir etzoni, that you should burn the chelev for reyach nechoyach for Hashem. So from there we learn, and this is in connection with zrikas dam. Earlier in that Pasuk it says, v'zorak ha-koyen es ha-dam al mizbach Hashem. And then v'hikter ha-chelev. So we learn from that, chelev, af bishein basar. So it's good enough. If there's chelev, even if there's no meat left, you can still do v'zarak ha-koyin as adam. Okay, what about ashkechan chelev? Fine, so that shows us that that works if there's chelev left. What about yeseres ha-kover to shtei kloyes menolon? Where do we know the same thing would apply if all there is left is some of the emurim, which are not chelev? Now, not all. Now we have like this. We often use chelev as a synonym for the things that are burnt on the mizbeach. That's what we did in the Mishnah, for example, Nitma Bosav Achelev Kayim, and in the Braisa over here. But technically, when you get down to it, not everything that's burnt on the Mizbeach is Chelev. There are certain parts of the Korban which are not Chelev themselves, but nevertheless, they're part of the Emurim and are burnt on the Mizbeach. They include the Yeseres HaKaved. Rashi defines it as the diaphragm of the animal, the sheet of muscle that separates the lungs from the liver and the stomach and the rest of those organs. Rather, Yeseres HaKaved is a little thing, a little finger-shaped thing that sticks out from the liver. Whatever it is, anyway, that's something you have to burn on the Mizbeach. And Shtei Kloyes, the two kidneys. So let's, now those, are, again, those are not Chelev, but those are part of Emurim. So how do we know that, even if only those are left, that you're still able to sprinkle the blood? So Menolon, where do we know it from? So the Gemara first says, wait a second, hey Chamrinin, Dizakinin, where did you ever see in the first place that we could sprinkle the blood, but first you have to establish that you could before we ask for a source for it. So where do you see that? So the answer is Midikotani, because after all, the Braisa had continued, over Mincha af bishakola kayemes lo yizrik, we said even if the whole Mincha is left, and we said it meant the Minchas Nesachim, then you're not allowed to sprinkle the blood. So the implication was mincha hu deloy, only if the mincha is the only thing left, then you can't sprinkle the blood. Avo yeseres hakaver to shtei kloyes shaper dami. Apparently then the implication is that if there's any part of the korban that's burnt on the mizbeach, even if it's only the yeseres hakaver and the two kidneys, shaper dami, then it would be fine and you can sprinkle the blood. So now that we establish that that's the case from that implication of that braisa, then the question is, menolon, what posik do we get that from? Again, Boser we get from Valsiso Lesecha Bosav Adam, Chelev we get from Vehiktera Chelev Lareach Nechoyach Lashem, but we know from other Psukim that you have to burn the Yeseres or Shtak, the Yeseres are covered with Shtak Loy, it's fine. But where do we find that if those parts of the Korban are all that's left, that's good enough to be able to sprinkle the blood? So Rabbi Yochanan Didei Omar, so Rabbi Yochanan on his own said, before we had Rabbi Yochanan quoted something in the name of Rabbi Shmuel or in the name of Rabbi Yeshua, now we have a limud that Rabbi Yochanan himself says, Omar Kro L'Reyach Nechoyach, because that pasuk that we just quoted doesn't just say he burns the chelev for Hashem, it says he burns the chelev for a Reyach Nechoyach for Hashem, meaning Kol She'atamala L'Reyach Nechoyach. So anything which is offered on the Mizbeach, which is the Reyach Nechoyach, which accomplishes that, the Nachas Ruach that Hashem says, so to speak, I have nachas ruach from it that I commanded and what I said is done. So therefore, so that's the chelev. So not just the chelev, but also the yeseres hakaved and the shtei akloyes, because those also accomplish the reyach nechoyach. Okay. So now the question then is, why in that case do we need two different things in the pasuk? Why does it need to mention chelev separately and l'reach nechoyach separately? So the Gemara says, v'itzrich l'michtav chelev, v'itzrich l'michtav reach nechoyach. So yeah, you should know we need both of them. Because de'i kosev rachmona chelev, if it only said the word chelev, Havamina, we would have thought, Chelev Enya, Seres HaKavod Ashtea Kloyes Loi. Indeed, like we thought in the Havamina, maybe it's only good if there's Chelev left. Maybe it doesn't work if there's only a Seres HaKavod Ashtea Kloyes left. Maybe you can't sprinkle the blood. Therefore, Kosev Rachmano L'Reach Nechoyach. Therefore, the Torah writes the word L'Reach Nechoyach, teaching you that it's not like that, even if those are the only things left, and everything else is Tomei or burnt or whatever, then it's still good enough. The E Kosev Rachmano L'Reach Nechayach. On the other hand, if the Torah had written only the word Reach Nechayach and not written the word Chelev at all, Havamina Kol Ha'olim L'Reach Nechayach, then you would have thought that it means anything which is offered and burnt on the Mizbeach, which accomplishes a Reach Nechayach, Va'afilu Mincha, which therefore would mean even the Mincha. And we said before that not. We said if all that's left is the Minchas Nesachim, then you can't sprinkle the blood. Therefore, Kosev Rachmano Chelev, therefore the Pasuk had to also write the word Chelev to tell us, in other words, that at least it has to be, it doesn't have to be Chelev itself. It can be a Seres Ashtaka or Shtakloyas, fine, but it does have to be something from the actual animal, from the actual korban itself, not the mincha which comes as a side thing together with it. So that's that. So all that's the shitta of Rabbi Yeshua. The Rambam Paskins like him. So therefore, that's how it is with most korbanos. Even if all you have left is a kezias of the chelev or kezias of the aseres or shteakloyes, then it's good enough to sprinkle the blood and the korban is kosher. Less than that, than not. With the Korban Pesach, we said you davka have to have meat of the Korban left over, because after all, the Korban Pesach is only l'shem achila. We discussed yesterday that Rav had said that b'dieved, if you sprinkled the blood even when there wasn't meat available, then it would be kosher. However, we said that was only according to Rav Nosson. The Chachamim would disagree with that, and the Rambam doesn't paskin like that. He just paskins like the Chachamim. There has to be a kezias of meat left. And that achila is ma'akiv. Well, when we say achila is ma'akiv, not that if in the end you don't eat the korban pesach, you're not yotze, but it has to at least be at the time of the shechita and at the time of the zrika that you would have been able to eat it. So meaning it has to be, as we said yesterday, gavra chazi, the person has to be suitable to eat the korban, namely not tamei and not sick and whatever, and it has to be that the meat of the korban was able to be eaten, at least until the zrika, namely that it didn't all become tamei, unless of course the Pesach is being brought betumah. If it became tamei after that, or if the person became sick after that, then it doesn't matter, he's still yotze the korban Pesach. Okay. Now, continuing on this topic of bringing the Korban Pesach betumah. So we said a couple of Mishnayos ago that the Korban Pesach is the only Korban which not only is brought betumah, but even eaten betumah. So now we're going to get more into the details of that. So the Mishnah says, Nitma Kohol Oirubai, if the Jewish people became Tomei, or most of them became Tomei. Now we're talking about Tumas Mes. We're not talking, we discussed before, we had a Machlokes before, whether the same thing would apply if most of them became Tomei with Tumas Sheretz. We had a discussion about it in the previous parak. If they're tomei as zavim or other tumas that come out of their own body, then we don't say this. So we're talking about over here primarily tumas mes. So if most of the Jewish people or all of them are tomei, osha hayu akoyanim tmeim v'akol tahorim, or if the koyanim are tomei and the rest of the kohal are tahor, still yasa b'tumah, they can still bring the korban pesach b'tumah. So in other words, Rashi explains, even if, when we say that the Koyanim are Tomei, we mean even if you have the, even if it's, so the Koyanim are Tomei, let's say, in other words, even the among the rest of the Jewish people, only individuals are Tomei, nevertheless, you're still able to bring it B'tumah. Tosfos points out, L'chura, so what if the Kohenim are Tomei? Still, isn't it possible to bring it B'tahara by making sure that they don't touch the meat of the Korban? But nevertheless, Tosfos says that no, because once they're allowed to touch the Emurim, and they have to necessarily in order to burn the Emurim on the Mizbeach, then already once they're allowed to make the Emurim Tomei, then they're already allowed to make the meat Tomei as well. Actually, the Gilui Nashas, Rabbi Akiva Eger, asks on that. I mean, what does one have to do with the other? The fact of the matter is, we're talking about it. We're focusing over here on the focus is not so much on the tumah of the meat. The focus is on the tumah of the people. So, what does that have to do with the fact whether the Kohenim are touching the meat or not? But that's what it means. In other words, ultimately, when we say Yasu Batuma, it means, in other words, that so if the Kohenim are Tomei, it means everybody is able to come into the Azara to Shech the Korban Pesach, even the Tmeim. So in other words, again, if most of the Jewish people are Tomei, then everybody can come in to bring the Korban Pesach, both the Tmeim and the Tohodim, and they do it all together. The Tohodim are not obligated, the Yisraelim who are Toho don't bring the Korban separately. They bring it together with the Tmeim, and everybody eats it b'tumah. If the Kohenim are Tomei, what we're saying is, even though the Yisraelim, most of them are Tahor, nevertheless, the individual Yisraelim who are Tomei can also come in together with all the Tahorim and bring the Korban Pesach. Because once we're saying that normally there's an Issur Koris for Tomei to go into the Azara. But here, since it's being allowed for the Korban Pesach, then it's being allowed even if the Tmeim are a miut of the Yisraelim, as long as the Korban Pesach itself is being brought b'tumah because the Kohenim are Tomei.
What's about the fact that some Kohanim are tired and they're going to become tummy because of those other Kohanim? They should really keep them separate.
That's the point, in other words. So what you have is like this. If some of the Kohanim are Tomei, and if some of the Kohanim are Tomei and some are Tahor, then yeah, you don't have a heter to do it b'tahara, b'tumah. Because then what you do is, fine, the Kohanim who are Tomei can't serve. The Kohanim who are Tomei will do the job. But what we're talking about over here is that all the Kohenim are Tomei, or at least maybe it doesn't have to be all the Kohenim, at least all the Kohenim that are within a reasonable distance of Yerushalayim. And the other
Kohenim who are Tahor will do the job.
That's what I'm saying. If you have...
You said the Kohenim who are Tomei.
No. So let me rephrase. Let me rephrase. If you have some Kohenim are Tomei and some are Tahor, and the Kohenim who are Tahor are available, then yeah, then you're going to make the Korban Pesach B'tahara. Then the Kohenim who are Tomei can't serve. The individual Jews who are Tomei are going to have to wait for Pesach Sheni. The Korban Pesach is brought B'tahara like it would every other year. When we say over here Kohenim Tmeim, what we mean is all the Kohenim are Tomei. Or at least we shouldn't say all. Maybe there are Kohenim elsewhere in Eretz Yisrael or Tahor, but at least all the Kohenim who are in the area of Yerushalayim are Tomei. So now we have no Kohenim Tahorim. So now we're allowed to make the Pesach B'tumah. And what that means is, again, it means since the Kohenim are doing it B'tumah, even though the rest of the people, most of them are Tahor, nevertheless, the Tmeim are still allowed. Nevertheless, the Yisraelim who are Tomei are still allowed to enter the Azara and bring their Korban Pesach. Because now the Korban Pesach is being brought B'tumah by virtue of the fact that the Kohenim are Tomei. But again, in other words, the difference is with the Yisraelim, we look at the majority. Once the majority are Tomei, then that's reason enough to bring it B'tumah. When it comes to the Kohenim, we don't look at the majority. We look at, are there any Kohenim available who are Tahor? And if there are, then they're the ones who have to do it.
So one Kohen who's Tahor and all the rest are Tomei would be enough.
Well, okay, if there's only one Kohen who's Tahor, maybe not. I mean, the pastors we're talking about, if there's a number of Kohenim enough to be able to shecht everybody's Korbanos Pesach, the Kohenim don't have to shecht, enough to be able to do the Avodah on everybody's Korban Pesach. Yeah, if you only have one Kohen who's Tahor, I guess that's not going to work. But what we mean is, in other words, if there's a smaller than usual group of Kohenim, like this you have, for example, I think what it is actually... Now we know the Kohenim are divided into mishmaris. So I think that Amam talks about it really depends on whether the current mishmar is Tomei. If the Kohenim of the current mishmar are Tomei, then even though you have ones from other mishmaris that are Tahor, then that doesn't matter, and we're still going to bring the Pesach B'tumah, because the ones from the current mishmar are the ones who serve in the Bis Mikdash this week. But yeah, I mean, even within that mishmar itself, you could have some of them are Tomei, some of them are Tahor. But yeah, if you only have one or two of them are Tahor, then that's not going to work. But yeah.
Yeah, I think you gave us the example that either Kohen Gadol or one of the head big people passed away, and all the Kohanim were allowed, one is supposed to be Tamei to whose burial.
We gave the example before on Daf Ayin, where the Nasi, right, for example, passed right away, and everybody has to be Metame for him. Right. So you could have scenarios like that where most of the people are Tomei for whatever reason. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's continue. The Mishnah continues. Nitma miuta kohol. What happens if only a minority of the kohol is Tomei? Then hatahodin oisinus arishin. Then the people who are Tahor bring the Korban Pesach at its regular time, the first Pesach, Vatmeim, Oisinus Hasheni, and the Tmeim, bring Pesach Sheni, as we're going to learn the details of Pesach Sheni in the ninth parak of Or Masechta. By the way, how we figure out what the majority is, that Rambam writes. And now we're actually going to have later on when we talk about Pesach Sheni and we talk about Shehoya B'Derech Rechoika, what the definition of Derech Rechoika is, whether it means they're a certain distance away from Yerushalayim or whether it means they're just outside the Azara. So that affects the question of how we count who are the majority for this purpose. Since the halacha is that Derech Rechoika means anybody who's a certain distance away from Yerushalayim, 15 mil, as we're going to talk about later on Daf Tzadik Aleph, Tzadik Beis, Tzadik Gimel, then what it is that Rambam writes, before everybody comes into the Azara, we figure out how many there are. We figure out how many people are there here ready to bring the Korban Pesach. We don't go, by the way, that Rambam says you don't go according to the number of people who are actually eating the Korban Pesach. You could very well have, you have one person comes with the Korban Pesach and 20 people are registered for it. You count all the people who are there ready to come into the Azara, and you look based on that, what are the numbers? Are the Tmeim the majority or are the Tehodim the majority? And you go based on that. So the Gemara starts off, Tanan Rabbanan, Harei Shehoyu Yisrael Tmein, suppose that the Jewish people collectively are Tamei, or most of them, the Koyanim, the Klei Shores Tahorim, the Koyanim and the Klei Shores are still Tahor, Oy Shehoyu Yisrael Tahorim, the Koyanim, the Klei Shores Tmein, or the other way around, the Koyanim and the Klei Shores are Tamei, but the Yisraelim are Tahor, Vafili Yisrael, the Koyanim, Tahorim, the Klei Shores Tmein, or even if all the people are Tahor, but the Klei Shores are Tamei. And again, we're talking about there's not going to be enough time to make new Klei Shores before they have to bring the Korban Pesach, or let's say it's Shabbos and they can't. So then Yasu with Tumah, in all those cases, you bring the Korban Pesach with Tumah, meaning, in other words, that even the Tmeim are going to be allowed to enter the Azara and bring the Korban Pesach. She'ein Korban Sibur Choluk. And the reason is because we don't divide up a Korban Sibur. When you have a Korban Sibur that's brought by Tumah, since most of them, or most of the Koyanim, or whatever, are Tameh, then therefore we don't divide it up. We say even the Tehorim are making it Tumah. So even the Tehorim then are going to be able to eat the meat, even though it was touched by Tmeim and became Tameh. Further on, later on in the Sugya, Rashi explains the idea is to Gnai, it would be a gnai for the Tehorim to be separating themselves from everybody else and like making a public spectacle of, I need to be careful not to become Tomei from you, so we don't have that. Instead, we just say that everybody makes it B'tumah. Omer of Chista, so Rav Chista says, though, when we talk about the Klei Shores being Tomei, Lo Shonu, when we talk about the Klei Shores, primarily, for example, we're talking about the knives that they use for shechting, so Lo Shonu Ela Shenitma Sakin B'Tmei Mes. That only applies when we're talking about that the knives became Tomei with Tumas Mes, which makes them an Avatuma. And we know that a knife touches a mess, then it becomes an Avatuma, D'Rachmona Omer B'Chalau Cherev, because we learned this at the beginning of the Masechta. The Pasuk says, B'chalau cherev, that a person was killed by the sword. Now we know, of course, there's no difference how a person was killed. Either way, dead is dead and they're still matame. So it means we learn from that, cherev hareyu k'cholol. From there, we learn that the sword has the din like the cholol. So therefore, metal keli touches a mess. It has the din of the mess. It becomes an avia voisa truma. We talked about over there, actually, that... We talked about over there actually that there's a machlokas rishonim, whether this applies only to metal kalim, does it apply to kalim made out of other materials as well? Whatever the case, it definitely applies to metal kalim. So what happens is, if the knives are tame, become a tame legabra, so then when the person handles the knife, he's going to become tame, because he touches an aviyava isatoma, he becomes an avatoma. So then what happens is, d'me'ikra k'mis abed b'tumas ha'guf d'kores k'mis abed. So now what happens is, when the Korban Pesach is being shechted, when the avoda of it is being done in the first place, it's being done with the kind of tumas ha'guf that would usually result in kores. In other words, exactly that. In other words, if a person is tomei from tumas mes with an avatuma, then he goes into the azora, then he's chayav kores. So we're saying, because the knives themselves are an aviyavos atuma, and therefore a person touches them becomes an avatuma. So anyway, as soon as we start shechting the Korban Pesach, or as soon as we touch the knives, then already we're becoming tomei. So therefore we have the heter, therefore to bring the Korban Pesach b'tuma. Actually, Tosfos points out, L'chora, what you could do is you could hold the knife using a wooden handle, let's say, and shecht that way, and that way you don't become tame, or you shecht using a very long knife so that you're standing outside the Azara, and you shecht. And Tosfos says, come on, practically speaking, you wouldn't have time to shecht all the Korbanos Pesach like that, so therefore the Torah is not going to require you to do that. You can just handle the knife, which is tame mes, and shecht betumah, and it's okay. Aval nitma sakin betumas sheretz, but if instead, if the knives had become tome only by touching a sheretz, which then the knife becomes only a rishon l'tumah, debasahu demetamule legavra lematamule. Now, if you handle, we know in general, a vlada tumah, a rishon or lower, is not metame a person, at least not daraisa. So a person handling this knife is not going to become tome. So all that's going to happen is the knife is going to make the meat tame. So then, the boss who matamile, it's only the meat that becomes tame. Le gavra lo matamile, the person does not become tame. Then the din would be tahorin ovid tmein lo ovid. Then only the tahorim are going to be able to bring Pesach Rishon, and the tmeim are going to be pushed off to Pesach Sheni. Because mutav ye'ochol b'tumas bosa v'lav, better that in that case, the Korban Pesach should be eaten where the meat is tome, where there's only a lav in general with kodshim eating, where a person who's tome eating kodshim is chayev karis, except of course for these cases. But a person eats the meat of a korban that became tome, he's not chayev karis, he's only over on a lav. So better to do that, v'al ye'ochol bosa b'tumas aguf shor b'karis, rather than that we should allow the meat to be eaten with tumas aguf, that the tmeim should be able to eat from the korban pesach shor b'karis, where after all there's karis involved. So therefore, so in that case, so if the knives are tome with tumas sheretz, then yeah, what we do is we don't say that all the tahorim and the tmeim are allowed to eat the korban pesach. Instead, we say only the tahorim eat, only the tahorim bring the korban pesach and eat it. Everybody else waits for Pesach Sheni. So the Gemara says, "Alma kasavra."
I'm sorry. Yeah. When do we make a difference? And when is the curse? And when is there a love?
What we're saying is, if the person who eats the korban is tame, then there's kares. If the person is tahor, but the meat is tame, then there's a love. So now what we're saying is like this then. So again, if the knife became tome tumas mes, so as soon as a person touches it, he himself becomes tome mes. So now, necessarily, as soon as they handle the knives, then they're going to become tome, and usually they would be also to enter the Bais Mikdash. So in that case, we're saying we're overriding that. We're saying tumah d'chulya b'tzibur, and we can bring the korban even though everybody is tome. But if the knife was tame, if the knife is only a rishon l'truma, so it's not being matame the people, it's only being matame the meat, then we say the korban pesach still has to be brought matara. Aye, the meat is going to be tame. That's fine. So it means the tahorim are the only ones who will enter the azara. The tmeim will not enter the azara because we're not going to allow them to be over on an isur kares. Aye, the tahorim eventually are going to be eating this meat, which is tame. That's fine. That's only an isur lav that we can more easily allow. But we're still not going to allow it.
But it won't make them tame, just the meat.
Won't make them tame, of course not. No, eating tame food. On a dirabanan, eating tame food makes a person tame. We learned in the first perek. But midaraisa, no, eating food is a food. The food which is tame is only a vlada tame. It can't make a person tame. Yeah. Okay. So Alma Kasavar of Chista Tumor Dechuya Hibitzibur. So you see from this that Rav Chista holds with them about the machloikas that we learned the other day about whether Tumor is Dechuya or Hutra Bitzibur. Obviously, Rav Chista is one of the ones who holds that Tumor is Dechuya Bitzibur. So therefore, to the extent that we can avoid a stronger tumah, then we're going to do that. To the extent, in this case, we're able to make only the tahorim bring the korban pesach and not allow the tmeim to bring it, and have that the maximum the tahorim are going to be over on is an isur lav of eating a korban which is tameh. So then we'd do that. If we said tumah hutra b'tzibur, then we wouldn't say that. We would say, you know what? Once there's tumah involved, then everybody might as well bring it because even the tmeim. That Rav Chista is not saying that shows that he holds tumah d'chuya b'tzibur. The chaynam Rav Yitzchok tumah d'chuya he b'tzibur. Rav Yitzchok says the same thing, that tumah is only d'chuya b'tzibur, so it's only b'koishi, it's only with difficulty that we allow it, and therefore we try to minimize it where possible. The Rava Amar, now Rava disagrees, and he says, no, in this case, even though the knives are only tamei, tumas sheretz, afilu tmeyim nami avdi. No, he says, even the tmeyim in that case will be able to bring the Korban Pesach. Even though the only tumah we're dealing with here is a tumah kala, that the knives are tamei tumas sheretz, nevertheless, once we're allowing one kind of tumah, once we're allowing that the meat is tamei and we're still going to be able to eat it, then Rava says we're allowing all the tmeyim to come bring the Korban Pesach. My time. He says, why? Because of dichtiv, because the pasuk says, the pasuk says about a korban, any meat of a korban that touches anything tamei, lo ye'ochol, cannot be eaten. But eshi sodef, it has to be burnt in fire, veha basar, and as far as the meat of the korban, kol tahor yechal basar, anybody who's tahor can eat the meat. So therefore, Rava says, we learn from that pasuk, where we're not applying the first half of the pasuk, that if the meat touched anything tamei, it can't be eaten. Because in this case, he's saying, even you, Rav Chista and Rav Yitzchok, are agreeing that we can eat the meat which became tamei. Again, it became tamei by the knife which was tamei touching it. Then once we have that, Rava says, loy karin beva habasa kol toro yecha basa. Then we don't apply the second half of the pasuk either. We don't restrict the eating of the korban only to the tahorim. We allow the tmeim to eat it as well. And if we're allowing them to eat it, then it means we have to be allowing them to bring it as well. On the other hand, kol hecha de korin and beva abasa shiiga b'chol tamei lo yachol. Only where we apply the first half of the pasuk and say that the meat is tamei, that where the meat touches tamei, you can't eat it. Only then korin beva abasa kol tari yecha abasa. Only then do we apply the second half that only the tahorim can eat, not the tamei. So if the korban pesach was brought b'tara and afterwards the meat became tamei, then sure, since it was being brought b'tara in the first place, then there's no heter for the tameim to bring it. But in that case, also we're not eating the meat of the korban pesach either because it became tamei. But when you have a case like this where you are allowed to eat the meat of the korban pesach b'tumah because the knives touched the sheretz, then Rava says, then the hekesh in the pasuk is going to tell us that yes, in that case, the tmeim are not also to eat it either. The tmeim are allowed to eat it, unlike usual, which means therefore that we bring the korban pesach b'tumah. So not like we bring it, in other words, the tmeim are allowed to come in to the azara and bring the korban pesach, not like Rav Chista and Rav Yitzchok are saying.
But then they're not allowed to eat it?
No, according to Rava, they will be allowed to eat it. In this scenario, when you have the knives became tamei with the sheretz, Rav Chista and Rav Yitzchok are saying that the Korban Pesach is not brought with tumah, only the Tahorim are allowed to go into the Azorah to bring it, and only the Tahorim are allowed to eat it. The difference is that in this case, the Tahorim are eating meat, which is tamei, but that's fine, that's only an Issur Lav. Rava is saying that no, once we make that exception, that we're allowing the Tahorim to eat meat of a korban, which is Tamei, then we make the whole exception and we say the whole Pesach has brought Betumah and therefore the Tmeim can come in and bring the korban along with the Tahorim and they can eat from it as well.
And the difference is how they learn. The difference is how they learn a Pasuk. If you say the whole Pasuk, you say half a Pasuk.
Pretty much, yeah. Well, so it's not really. I mean, Rav Chista and Rav Yitzchok are not even referring to the Pasuk. They're just saying, given that Tumah Dechuya Hi B'tzibur, then we want to allow only the minimum amount of tumah possible. So in this case, we were able to allow that the only issue of tumah that we're being over on is tahorim, eating kodshim, not otame, then we're going to do that. We're not going to allow anything else. That's part of the idea of tumah d'chuyah hibetzibur. Rava, on the other hand, is learning from the pasuk that once we're doicha one part of the tumah, then we're doicha all of it. Okay. Itmar. So now we have a discussion on the question like this. Hareisho Yisrael mechza tohorim mechza tmeim. Now we talked about in the Mishnah where most of the kohol is tamei versus most of the kohol is tahor. What if it's exactly half and half? So we have everybody standing there outside the azara. We count and we find there are 600,000 people. We count and we find exactly 300,000 are tamei and 300,000 are tahor. What do we do? Rav Omer Mechza al Mechza Karoiv. Rav says exactly half is considered like Roiv. But Rav Kahana Omer Mechza al Mechza Eina Karoiv. Rav Kahana says that not. So what does that mean? Rav Omer Mechza al Mechza Karoiv. Therefore, we have to consider that. Therefore, we have to consider that Roiv of the Kohol. Therefore, we have to consider that Roiv of the Kohol is. So each half is in effect considered a roiv. So therefore, halolu oisim la'atzman, v'halolu oisim la'atzman. In that case, we will have to be, usually we said before, that we don't divide up a korban sibur. We don't have the tmeim do separately and the tahorim do separately. We have either the tahorim do it alone and the tmeim don't do it at all, or they wait for Pesach Sheni rather, or we said the tahorim and tmeim do it together. But here, where it's exactly half and half, the Tehorim can't bring the Tumah. They can't join together with the Tmeim because they are like a Roiv, and the Roiv Tehorim cannot make it the Tumah. The Tmeim do not get pushed off to Pesach Sheni because they're also a Roiv, and the Roiv doesn't bring Pesach Sheni. So therefore, what happens is you have two different groups bringing the Korban Pesach, a group of Tmeim and a group of Tehorim, says Rav. Rav Kahana, I'm a mechza, mechza ene k'roiv. Rav Kahana says that no, exactly half is not considered like a roiv. Therefore, tahorim oisin as harishon, or tmein oisin as hasheni. So what will happen is, therefore, the tahorim will bring the korban pesach now b'tahara, because either way, whether they were a roiv or whether they were a miut, they're able to bring the korban pesach. So fine, they don't bring it b'tumah, they bring it b'tahara. Because Rashi explains, in other words, like this, they could have even brought it b'tumah, because we can consider them a minority. Alachas kama v'kama, they could bring it b'tara. So therefore, they bring it b'tara. Or tmeyin, oisin as a sheni, the tmeyim are not considered a roiv. Therefore, we push them off to Pesach Sheni, as is usual, when you have less than a roiv.
Why are they not considered a half? A roiv?
Because they are considered a half. But Rav Kahana is saying, a half, you have to have a roiv, you have to have a majority. So you'd have to have 300,001. Right. Uh-huh. But not 300,000, right?
And according to the first one, the Amar, they would do separately. All the Tahirim first would be allowed inside, and then after all the Tahirim finished, then they would do all the Tameim.
The Pashtus, yeah, or it could be the other way around. First the Tameim, then the Tahirim. But whatever.
Not to mix them up. They shouldn't get mixed up.
Yeah, they wouldn't be allowed to mix up, right? Right. Ikadamri, another version of what Rav Kahana says, Ikadamri, Omer Rav Kahana, Mechtzal Mechtza, Enei Keroiv, another version of what Rav Kahana says when he says that Mechtzal Mechtza is not considered like a majority, means according to that second Lashon, Tehorim Oisin Osirishin, again, the Tehorim bring the first Pesach, like usual, Utmein Einan Oisin Loyas Arishin Voyas Asheni. According to the second version of Rav Kahana, the Tmeim are not going to be bringing either the first Pesach or the second Pesach. Barishin like Avdi de la Ruba, they can't bring the first Pesach because they're not the Roiv, and only a Roiv of Tmeim can bring the first Pesach. Vasheni like Avdi de la Miota. On the other hand, they can't bring the Pesach Sheni because they're not the Miot either. So therefore, they end up getting stuck, and they don't bring either one. So we have three different opinions of it. Well, we have two opinions, but we have three different possibilities. We have Rav saying that the Tehorim bring the Korban Pesach on their own, and then the Tmeim go and bring on their own, or Pesach Rishon. We have the first version of Rav Kahana that the Tehorim bring Pesach Rishon, and the Tmeim bring Pesach Sheni. And then we have the second version of Rav Kahana that the Tehorim bring Pesach Rishon and the Tmeim don't do anything. They don't bring Pesach Rishon and they don't bring Pesach Sheni.
So when Moshe Rabbeinu had the question, the Yidden said that we're Tamei.
Anach Tmeim and Nechashadim. It wasn't Roiv. We learned previously, the Pasuk says, Ish ki yeh Tamei l'nefesh, which means that only Ish nidcha ve'in Tzibur nidchin. The Tzibur is not pushed off to Pesach Sheni. That's where we learn the concept that if Roiv are Tamei, then we bring the Pesach Betumah. So now the question comes down to, is half considered roiv or not? Rav is saying half is considered roiv. Rav Kahana is saying half is not considered roiv. And then there are two versions within what Rav Kahana is saying, right. What din that results in as far as the Tmeim, are they making Pesach Sheni or are they not making Pesach Sheni?
So according to the second part of Rav Kahana, you make sure that one more kohen gets Tamei. This way all the Yidden could have Pesach Sheni.
We'll talk about that tomorrow, Beth Hashem. Okay. We'll talk about what we do in that case. Yeah. Okay. But right now we're saying that, yeah. Tosfos discusses over here, it's not even really a matter of a suffix. If it was a matter of a suffix whether half is considered like roiv or not, then like you said, let's be matame one of the tahorim, and then we can make it matuma. So Tosfos says, no, what it is if you have this half, then on the one hand, we can't say that it's ish because it's more than ish. It's a half. On the other hand, we still say, on the other hand, the second version of Rav Kahana again is going to say, ein korban sibur choluk. You can't divide up a korban sibur. So therefore, we can't have the Tmeim and the Tehorim do it separately. So Rav Kahana holds that in that case, according to the second opinion, according to the second version of Rav Kahana, then there's nothing they can do at all. Okay, so the Gemara says Tanan. Let's look at our Mishnah and see which of these opinions it fits with. We said in the Mishnah, Nitma Kahal Ay Ruboy, if the Kahal or most of the Kahal is Tame, or the Kohenim are Tomei and the Kohol are Tahor. We said, Yas, Ya'asa B'Tumma. Then we said the Kohen Pesach is brought B'Tumma. And again, what we said when we say we bring it B'Tumma means even the Tahorim are bringing it B'Tumma. In other words, the Kohenim can, the Tahorim can mingle together with the Tmeim and all bring the Kohen and all bring the Kohen together. And everybody's eating it, the Tmeim and the Tahorim. So now the Mishnah said, Rubai, Rubai hu da'avdi b'tuma. So it seems to be only if most of it, only if most of them are tomei, do we make the korban pesach b'tuma. Ava pago, pago loy avdi b'rishin. But implying that if it's exactly half, then the tmeim are not doing the first pesach at all. Kasha l'rav. So that would be a question on Rav. The answer is Omalach Rav. Rav will answer you. What the Mishnah means is like this. Ruba, if most of the people are tomei, avdi kula b'tuma. Then we say everybody brings it b'tumah. Even the Tahorim are bringing it b'tumah. Meaning again, the Tahorim are able to become Tomei. They're able to mingle with the Tomeim. When it comes to eating the Korban Pesach, everybody's eating it indiscriminately. Ava pago pago, pago pago. But if you have exactly half and half, not that the Tomeim don't bring the Korban Pesach. All it is halolo oisim la'atzman, v'halolo oisim la'atzman. The Mishnah is not explicitly telling us what happens, but I'm telling you the din is, that in that case, the Tmeim and the Tahorim make it separately. The Tahorim are obligated to avoid becoming Tomei and to bring their Pesach B'Tara like they usually would. The Tmeim can bring it also. So the Mishnah is not addressing that case, but the Mishnah is not contradicting me either. The Mishnah is talking about what you do if it's Rav, where then everybody can become Tomei. The Mishnah is not addressing the case if it's exactly half and half. In fact, the Gemara says, Hachinami Mistabra. Yeah, it seems logical to understand the Mishnah that way, that the Mishnah is not, that the din by half and half would be different. Dikatoni is safer because the Mishnah continues. Nitma miyuta kohol, that if only a minority of the kohol is tamei, tahorin osin es rishon, or tmein osin es sheni, then the tahorin make Pesach rishon, and the tmein make Pesach sheni, implying miyutu da'avdi b'sheni. Only if it's a minority that are tamei, do they do Pesach sheni. Avo pago, pago loy. But implying that if it's half and half, then not. And therefore, what would that mean? So what are the Tahorim doing? What are the Tmeim rather doing in that case? Va'avdi Barishan. So they still are making Pesach Rishan. V'halolo oisim la'atzman, v'halolo oisim la'atzman. And then you have a group of Tmeim and a group of Tahorim are doing it separately, but all on Pesach Rishan. So yeah, the second half of the Mishnah seems to support Rav's point that only a miut is ever pushed off to Pesach Sheni. Here they're not the miut, therefore the implication is they do Pesach Rishon. So Ve'el Akashel Rav Kahana. Well, now then that we understand the Mishnah that way, then doesn't become a question on Rav Kahana. So the answer is Amalach Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana will say, here's how I'm going to understand the Mishnah. Nitmu miut akol, if only the miut is Tomei, then Tahorin Oisin Asadishin, or Tmein Oisin Asasheni. Then, yeah, the Tahorim make first Pesach, the Tmeim make second Pesach. Ha, Paugo, Pauga. But implying that if it was exactly half and half, then Tahorin Oisin Asadishin, then the din is going to be different. The Tahorim are going to make the Rishon, Abel Tahor, Abel Tmein, and an Oisin Lois Asadishin, Lois Asheni. But the Mishnah is implying that if the Tmeim are not a miut, but rather half, then they're not doing Pesach Sheni, because the Mishnah is saying if they're a miut, then they make Pesach Sheni, implying that if they're more than a miut, but not a majority, then they don't make Pesach Sheni, which is what I'm saying.
The second version.
Right. So that's what Gemara says. Basra Rav Kahana. Right. That works according to the second Lashon of Rav Kahana. Ela lahach Lashon of Amr Rav Kahana, Tahorim Oisin Asadishin, or Tmeim Oisin Hasheni. But the first version of Rav Kahana, that the Tmeim do make Pesach Sheni, then Ma'ikal Meimer, how are you going to understand the Mishnah according to him? The answer is Amalach Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana will answer you like this. Hu adin da'afilu palgo palganami tahorin oisin sedition or tmein oisin asasheni. You know what? As a matter of fact, according to that first lashon of Rav Kahana, yeah, as a matter of fact, even if the tmeim are exactly half, they're still bringing Pesach Sheni. Aye, then why does the Mishnah say v'haide katoni miut akohol? So why does the Mishnah say the minority? Just to be parallel, I did a ton of Reisha Rubai, since the Reisha mentioned the majority, and we had to say the majority because according to him, only if The majority are tamei. Are we making the Pesach b'tumah? According to him, remember, if half of them, if exactly half are tamei, then the tameim for sure are not making Pesach rishon. You have the different versions of him, whether they're making Pesach sheni or nothing at all. So in the reisha, it had to say rubai. So therefore, tananami say for miutai. So therefore, in the sefer, it mentions miutai just to be parallel, but not to imply that it has to be a miut. In fact, Rav Kahana would say the same din actually would apply if it was exactly half as well. And then again, according to the second lashon of Rav Kahana, we wouldn't say that. According to the second lashon, we would say, and according to Rav, we would say that the second part of the Mishnah, when it mentions mi'utai, is meduyak, in fact. It's not just for parallelism. It's actually to be medayak, that only if they're a majority do they make Pesach Sheni, as opposed to, according to Rav, if they're exactly half, then they still make Pesach Rishon. And according to Rav Kahana's second version, if they're exactly half, then they're not making Pesach Sheni either. So it all works out. So we can say, in other words, that... So again, so the Mishnah is not a kasha on Rav, because the first part that mentions what happens if the tmeim are the roiv, is Rav would say the Mishnah is not addressing at all the case where it's exactly half and half. In fact, since the Mishnah continues that if a miut is tamei, then they make Pesach Sheni, the implication is if exactly half are tamei, then they make Pesach Rishon. Rav Kahana's first version is going to say that what the Mishnah is implying is that Rav Kahana's first version is going to say that in the Sefer, we're going to say that miut is not meant davka, it's just for parallelism with the first part, but in fact, the same din would happen if it was exactly half. And the second version of Rav Kahana would say, somewhat similarly to Rav, the second half is implying that only if it's a miut do we have this din that they make Pesach Sheni, but if it's exactly half, then they don't make Pesach Sheni either. So Rav had said in that case they make Pesach Rishon. The second version of Rav Kahana would say they don't do anything. Okay. So the Gemara says, Tanya Kavasei de Rav, Tanya Kavasei de Rav Kahana, Ketrei Lishni. We actually have Braisas like all three of these possibilities. We have a Braisa that agrees with Rav's opinion. We have a Braisa that agrees with the first version of Rav Kahana. And we have a Braisa that agrees with the second version of Rav Kahana. Tanya Kavasei, and so first we'll quote the Braises, then afterwards we're going to say how Rav and Rav Kahana are going to understand the Braises that support each other. Now, of course, we could just say, okay, look, it's a Machlokes Tanoim, and have done with it, but the Gemara is going to try to find a way to make all these Braises work according to all three possibilities. But first, on the face of it, though, the Braises support their respective opinions. Namely, the first Braises says, Tanya Kavasei de Rav, Hoyu Yisrael Mechze Tahorin or Mechze Tmein, if the Jewish people are exactly half Tahor and half Tomei, Halolu Oysen Ma'atzman v'Halolu Oysen Ma'atzman, then each group makes it separately, which is what Rav said, the Tahorin make the Korban Pesach B'Tahara, making sure that they don't become Tomei, making sure that the meat of their Korban doesn't become Tomei, and the Tmein make their own Korban Pesach, and they themselves are Tomei, and they enter the Azara, and the meat of their Korban Pesach becomes Tomei, but no big deal. Tanya Kalishna Kama de Rav Kahana. Then we learn another Braisa like Rav Kahana's first Loshen. We say, if the Jewish people are exactly half Tomei and half Tahor and half Tomei, Tahorin Oysen Esarishin, then the Tahorin bring the first Pesach alone without the Tmeim, Utmein Oysen Esarishin, and the Tmeim are pushed off to Pesach Sheni. That's the first version of Rav Kahana. But Tanya, Kalishna Basra Rav Kahana. Then we have a Braisa like the second version of Rav Kahana. Harei Shehu Yisrael Mechz Tahorin Mechz Tmeim. Tahorin Oysen Esarishin. Then the Tahorin bring the first Pesach. Utmein Ein Oysen Lo Esarishin Lo Esasheni. The Tmein aren't bringing either one. Neither Pesach Rishin nor Pesach Sheni. So we have Braises like all three of them. Okay. So now the question is, L'Rav Ula Lishna Basra de Rav Kahana. So now, how are Rav and the second version of Rav Kahana, how are they going to explain Hodatana to Horin Ursin Esarishin Utsmein Esasheni Hechim Tautzila? How are they going to understand the Braisa that the second Braisa that says that the Tmeim make Pesach Sheni? According to Rav, they don't. According to Rav, the Tmeim in that case make Pesach Rishon. And according to the second version of Rav Kahana, they're not making Pesach that year at all, not Rishon and not Sheni. So how are they going to understand that Braisa? So the answer is, Kigun Cho Yisrael Mechze Tahorin or Mechze Tmeim. Let's say that, yeah, we have that The male Jews who are coming to bring the korban are half tamei and half tahor. The nashim mashlimus the tamei. Now let's say we also have, now we have to count the women as well, and then if we do that, then we find that the nashim, once we add them, then we have more tmeim than tamei. Rashi speaks it out a little differently. Among the men, you have the tahorim are the majority, but once you start counting the women, then you find out that, oh no, actually that's the second case rather. In the first case over here, Yisrael or Mechza Tahorim, Mechza Tmeim, the Noshim Mashlimus Tmeim. Yeah, we have that the males are mostly Tahor. When we said Yisrael, Mechza Tahorim, and Mechza Tmeim, we mean when we count the men and the women, then we find exactly half Tomei and half Tahor. If we counted only the men, we would have had the majority Tahor. So now, how does that change thing? Because Sava Noshim Berishin Rishus. Now we're going to have a machloikas later on in the tzaddiks. We're going to have a machloikas. Are women chayev in the Korban Pesach the same way as men are? And if they are, then what is the deal? Are they chayev in both Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, just like the men? Or are they chayev only in Pesach Rishon and not in Pesach Sheni? Or are they potter from both of them and it's only if they want to, then they can be yotze with both of them? We're going to have later on in the next perek, we're going to have a machloikas about that point. So now, our braisa, the second braisa that we quoted over here, holds noshim berishin rishus. That, when it comes to the first Pesach and the second Pesach, halachas kama v'kama, it's only a rishus. Women don't have to bring it. They could bring it if they want to. Therefore, what happens is now dal noshim mitmeim. So now, what happens is once you subtract the women from the tmeim, v'havalu tmeim miyuta. Now, at this point, the tmeim, the men end up being a miut, because we said the case was that among the men you had mostly tahorim. Only once we added in the women did we have half and half. So now, once we remove the women because they're only rishus, then we have the tmeim a miyuta. And the usual rule is a miut gets pushed off to Pesach Sheni. So that would be the case. The Brai said that the Jewish people were mechza tahorim, mechza tmeim. That's counting the women. But if after subtracting the women, we have the majority of the men are tahorim, then we have Pesach Rishon is brought by the tahorim and Pesach Sheni is brought by the tmeim. Everybody would agree to that.
How does that work out when we said before that they look outside the Azar and see how many people are tired and how many people, just see who's standing there, and which does not include the women. It's just
going to be
the men.
The women. You could, who says it doesn't include the women? You could sometimes have women that are coming.
Who's the women's house hold, but outside the Azara, you're going to have a group of Tahirin.
No, I understand that. But I'm saying when you have people are coming to Shecht, the Korban Pesach, or to, not everybody is coming to Shecht. Some people are probably only coming to observe. They want to watch their Korban Pesach being Shechted. But Pashtos, you could have women among them.
Okay.
Actually, Tosfos points out that according to Rav Kahana, it really doesn't matter whether the women are obligated to or not. The fact is, since Pesach Sheni, the women are rishus, then it comes out that when it comes to Pesach Sheni, the Tmeim are going to be a miut. And therefore, we can't allow, according to the second version of Rav Kahana, they can't bring the Pesach Sheni. But when we said over here, Noshim Berishin Rishus is really only because we only really need that because of Rav's opinion. Because according to Rav's opinion, if we had said that women are obligated to bring the first Pesach, then we would have to count them equally with the men, and then you have exactly half and half. And Rav tells us that when you have exactly half and half, then the Tmeim bring Pesach Rishon. Okay, so this is how we can understand that Braisa. What about the Rav Lulishna Kama de Rav Kahana? Now let's look at the third Braisa, which we said the third Braisa says that the Tmeim don't bring Pesach Rishon or Pesach Sheni. So the Rav Lulishna Kama de Rav Kahana, according to Rav and according to the first version of Rav Kahana, Rav who says that the Tmeim make Pesach Rishon, Rav Kahana, the first version who says that the Tmeim make Pesach Sheni, Hoda Tanya Tahodin Oisin Esarishon, or Tmeina En Oisin Loyas Arishon Loyas Hasheni, when the third Braisa says that the Tehorim make Pesach Rishon, the Tmeim don't make either one, Pesach Rishon or Pesach Sheni. Heichi Metautzila. How would Rav and the first version of Rav Kahana understand that third Braisa? So like this. So each one is going to have their own way of explaining it. Rav Metautzila. Rav is going to understand it like this. Again, let's say that now you have the men are exactly half Tomei and half Tahor. V'noshim odfoi salat Tahorim. Now you have the Noshim, once you count them, then you have more Tahorim. So this is the opposite of the previous case. In the previous case, you had the men alone were mostly Tahorim. Once you added the women, there were more women who were Tomei than were Tahor. So once you added the women, then you ended up with exactly half and half. Now it's the other way around. Now you have that. Now you have the men are exactly half and half. The women, you have more that are Tahor, that are Tomei. So now once you count the women, then you have a majority Tahor. Now, the Tana of this third Braisa is going to hold, according to one of the opinions that we're going to have later on Daf Tzadik Aleph, Noshim Berishin Choiva, that women are obligated to bring the first Pesach, over Sheni Rishus, only Pesach Sheni is it a Rishus. Therefore, Berishin Lay Avdi. So now, this Braisa is going to say as follows. So now, the Tmeim cannot do Pesach Rishon, Dahavali Miut, because now the Tmeim are only a Miut of the total, because after all, when you consider the men and the women together, all the ones who are obligated to bring the Korban Pesach, then it comes out that the men and then it comes out that the majority are Tehorim, only the minority are Tmeim. Umi Uta Le Avdi Birishin, and we know a minority of Tmeim never brings Pesach Rishin. Over Sheni Le Avdi. Meanwhile, why does this Braisa say they can't bring the Pesach Sheni either? Because Daun Noshim Minayu. Because now, when it comes to Pesach Sheni, you have to subtract the women, because the women, according to this Braisa, are not Chayev in Pesach Sheni. V'havalu Pauga, Pauga. Now you have among the men, it's exactly half and half. Well, Pauga Le Avdi B'Sheni. Rav is saying a half never bring Pesach Sheni. That is why this Braisa would say that the Tmeim in this case don't bring Pesach Sheni at all. Because they're stuck in the middle. When it came to Pesach Rishon, and we consider everybody who's chayv in Pesach Rishon, then they were a minority. And we consider Pesach Sheni, and when we consider who's chayv in Pesach Sheni and who's not, then they come out to be exactly half. So therefore they're stuck from both directions. So that's how Rav will understand the Braisa. Yeah,
that covers the Bas Lishna.
That covers according to Rav how Rav would understand the third Braisa. Right, we said the third Braisa, we said, works out most straightforwardly according to Rav Kahana's third Lashon, according to Rav Kahana's second Lashon, according to the Lashon of Basra, right. But we're saying Rav still has to have a way of understanding that Braisa. Oh. So we're saying Rav will understand that the Braisa is talking about the scenario where only once we add the women do we have a majority that are Tahor. Yeah. Rav Kahana, and according to the first version of Rav Kahana, Dharma Pauga Nami Avdi B'Sheni, he says that even a half are able to bring Pesach Sheni, the first version, Hochi Mataritzla. So he will for the Braisa as follows. What if the men were half Tomei, half Tahor, half Tomei? But you only get exactly half by including the women. So in other words, again, the case is like we had before, where most of the men were Tomei. Only once we add the women do we have exactly half and half. Again, Rav Kahana, like Rav, is going to say that this third Braisa holds that women are obligated to bring the first Pesach and not obligated to bring the second one. Therefore, he says, Berishin Lo Avdi. Therefore, the Tmeim cannot bring Pesach Rishon, the Havalu Paugo Pauga, because once we include the women, then we have exactly half and half. Pauga Berishon Lo Avdi. And Rav Kahana had said that a half never brings the first Pesach, because according to him, again, in Korban Sibur Choluk, we don't divide up the Korban Sibur. So not like Rav, who said the Tehorim and the Tmeim bring separately. The first version of Rav Kahana had said that the half that are Tomei got pushed off to Pesach Sheni. So therefore, that's going to happen. But Sheni Nami Lo Avdi. Again, they can't bring Pesach Sheni because Dal Noshim Minayim Minatahodin. Because now, when it comes to Pesach Sheni, since women are not obligated to bring Pesach Sheni, then therefore Dal Noshim Minayim. Now you have to subtract the women from them Minatahodin. You subtract the women from the Tahodin. Havalu Tmeim Ruba. Now it comes out the Tmeim were the Roiv. And the Tmeim, when they were roiv, don't bring Pesach Sheni, because if they were roiv, they should have brought Pesach Rishon. So again, Rav Kahana is saying they end up stuck over here. So therefore, Rav Kahana would say, if that's the scenario of the Braisa, then that's why the Braisa is saying that they don't bring Pesach Rishon or Pesach Sheni, the Tmeim. Okay. What about now a third possibility? Ola Rav Kahana Hodatanya Hadesha Yisrael Mechta Tahorim or Mechta Tmeim Halolo Oisim Atman Halolo Oisim Atman. What about the second Braisa, where we said that if there's exactly half and half, then we said each group does it separately. Heichi mitaritzla, how, or actually that was the first braisa, the braisa that we brought as a proof for Rav. So we forentered the second and the third braisas. We're talking about that there's women involved over here, and therefore that changes the calculus. But the first braisa, which we brought saying that it goes according to Rav, clearly says that if you have a half and half, the Tmeim do it separately, the Tahorim do it separately. So now, how is Rav Kahana going to understand that? According to him, you never have that the Tmeim and the Tahorim bring separately. You either have the Tmeim bring Pesach Sheni, or the Tmeim don't bring at all, according to his different Lashonis. So how is he going to understand Heichim Mitaritzla? How does he understand that Braisa? The answer is Amalach Rav Kahana Tanoi. So Rav Kahana is going to tell you, you know what, you have no choice but to say that there's a Machloikas Tanoim. You have two different opinions, one that says that a half is considered like a roiv, one that says that not. Bless Bereid Rav Kahana is going to have to say that what I'm saying is not according to all Tanoim. Rav can make his opinion work according to all Tanoim. He can make all three braises work according to his opinion. Rav Kahana, fine, we can have the second braise can work according to Rav Kahana's second opinion, the third braise can work according to Rav Kahana's first opinion. But there's no way to make the first braisa work according. There's no way to make the first braisa work according to Rav Kahana's opinion, because it clearly says that the Tahorim and the Tmeim and that the Tahorim and the Tmeim each bring it separately. So therefore, we have no choice. We have no choice but to say according to Rav Kahana that there is a machlokes tanoim. Okay. Marsha points out over here, by the way, you have another opinion that mentions in this sugya, in the next perek, when we talk about this, whether women are chayiv in the Korban Pesach, we have an opinion over there that says that women are chayiv in both Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. Why aren't we mentioning, Marsha asks, why aren't we mentioning that as a possibility over here? That if we say that women are chayav both in Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, so then it comes out that the Tmeim are miut in Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, and then therefore then we're saying that they're pushed off to Pesach Sheni. So Marsha leaves the question open. Kaunei Re'eim at the bottom of Marsha says very simple. If the women are chayiv in both Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, then it's just a matter of you're not talking about whether the women add to it or whether we subtract the women or whatever. Then the women are chayiv on an equal level with the men, both Pesach Rishon, both Pesach Sheni. So then it's just a matter of half and half. Then you don't have to talk about whether it's men alone or men plus women or whatever. Only if we talk about that women are potter from both of them, or that women are chayiv in the first in Pesach Rishon, but not in Pesach Sheni, then we can start talking about the various permutations that the Gemara talks about over here. Whether we count them towards that half or towards that majority, and when we don't. Okay. So that's that. So we have the two. We have the opinion of Rav. We have the two opinions of Rav Kahana. The Rambam paskins like Rav. First of all, Rav Kahana was a Talmud of Rav, and generally we paskin in the earlier generations of Amoraim. We usually paskin like a Rebbe instead of his Talmud. Second of all, we're saying that Rav can make all three braises work according to him, whereas Rav Kahana necessarily has to say that it's a machlokas. So for those reasons, the Rambam paskins like Rav. So in that case, what's going to happen over here is, again, if it's exactly half and half, then the Tmeim are going to make their Pesach separately, and the Tahorim are going to make those separately. Provided that we don't have this whole business of women, because if we have women that count towards the half or towards the majority, then we have different dinim. We're going to learn later on in the next parak about the various opinions whether women are chayiv in Pesach Rishon or Pesach Sheni or whether or not. And based on that, that's going to make a difference over here. Okay.
Yeah, Shikayach.
Yeah.